Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 reads as follows. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts today. May your words not only, Father, be something that we like to hear, but may your words transform us to be more like Jesus Christ. And may we follow you today more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many people would say that, you know, Christianity is very popular and that Jesus was very popular, and he was. Jesus taught a lot, and he had a lot of people who followed him for a time. But when Jesus began to call for radical obedience and radical decisions, the crowd kind of got thinned out. People began to disperse. So we have this assumption in our mind that Jesus died with a lot of people following him. Jesus really, if you really had to, if you look at Jesus' ministry from a human standpoint, you say, man, that guy was a failure. He died on the cross. His disciples left him, deserted him. And yet that was exactly what Jesus came to do, to die on the cross. And not only that, he even predicted that disciples would leave him. So nothing surprised him that happened. He said, I'm going to die and you're going to desert me. But he said something else. But I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to call for you and strengthen you and use you to reach the world. And even today in our time, when we live in a free country like America, we have the freedom of religion, and we can say, man, everyone believes in God, and we assume everyone is born, everyone's a Christian. Even in America, there are fewer and far between people who are really following Jesus Christ, who are really traveling the road. There are a few. Now, there are many people who would say, hey, I have no problem with Jesus. I kind of like him. But they have not really, really, truly applied the Sermon on the Mount to their life. Because Jesus did not preach the Sermon on the Mount just to give us good ethics, good religion. He preached it to draw us to himself, to be under his authority, his teaching, and his leadership. So when we think about the road less traveled, in our world, there is only two roads in the world. That's when you outline. There are only two roads in the world. If I had to make it even plain to you, there are only two religions in the world. Now, maybe you say, well, there are a lot of religions. Well, you can really put all religions into two categories. Jesus himself said there's only two. He said, matter of fact, there's only two gates. Jesus says there's only two. So what I put on, there's only two roads because the gates lead to a road. The gates is where you enter to get onto the road. But Jesus tells us enter through the narrow gate. Now, in our society, people say there are many ways to God. There are many roads. It doesn't matter what road you take. Matter of fact, your road and my road can be different, but we're all going to wind up in the same place. Jesus says there's only two roads. And I want you to know that in these two roads, the key is that both roads claim to lead to heaven. Both roads claim to lead to heaven. Now I want you to know that many people may not believe, I mean, there are a lot of people believe in the afterlife, whether you want to call it afterlife or heaven. There are many people who you talk to them, they can be cynical, they can be agnostic, but let someone die in their family. They always say this right here. I know so-and-so is looking up at me. And they say, well, how do you know that? The so-and-so looking at me, is looking down on me. Nah, if you're looking up, you might be in the right place. That might be right. But they always say, I know he's looking up, down on me. We always look up. I know you're up there. And what that means is the fact that we all believe that no matter how bad that rascal was, you know, belligerent, ungodly, hated God, hated church, but hey, when he died, hey, he's in a better place, or she's in a better place. And many people believe both roads, these both roads lead to heaven. And that's what people say. No matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something, because you're all going to get to the same place. Now I want you to know that that is not Christianity, and that flies right in the face of what Jesus Christ taught. If you really studied the life of Jesus Christ and what he taught, you would have to say that that is contrary to everything that he taught. He did not teach that there were many ways to God. Matter of fact, Jesus said himself that there's only one way to God. And he says, you're looking at it, it's through me. So when we Christians say, hey, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, people say, you know what, you guys are too narrow-minded. Now, we get that phrase from when Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. They say, you guys are narrow-minded. I say, I'm narrow-minded because I'm on a narrow gate. So when you think about that, the question is, many people believe in heaven, but they believe that you don't need Jesus to get there. Now, the road that you take and I take is really determined by whom you trust. The road you take is determined by whom you trust. Now, when you talk to people and you ask them about God or you ask them about the afterlife, they're going to eventually tell you what they trust in. For instance, if you ask someone, do you believe that if you die, you would go to heaven? That's something they might say, well, I don't know, but I hope so. So I ask them, okay, well, you hope so. What are you hoping in? Now, some people might say, well, eventually, well, I try to do the right thing. I try to live right. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. And so I said, oh, so you really trust in yourself that if you are not that bad, that God's going to say, okay, you're not perfect, but you're not that bad. Come on in here. You deserve a spot. Well, that too is not Christianity. What you trust in will determine the road you travel. And many people, number one, the narrow gate represents faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. The narrow gate represents faith in Jesus Christ. Because the narrow gate says that exclusively that our faith is in Jesus Christ, that we trust him for salvation. And the question we want to always ask ourselves, you ask yourself, is what gate did you enter? What road are you on? What road are you on? Now, I want you to know that when we say that narrow gate represents faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said something that is astonishing. He said on the narrow gate, there are few people who's on that gate that find access to enter. There are few people. Now, why in the world would there be few people in the gate that has faith in Jesus Christ? Well, because most people, and my second one is that most people trust in themselves. The wide gate represents faith in self-righteousness. Like the Pharisees in Luke 18:9, they believed that in themselves they were righteous. And what that means is the fact that we can believe in ourselves that we're not that bad, that we're okay, and that God will accept us because we're not that bad. We're not bad people. God did not come for good people. He came to save sinners. You may be not that bad, but you're not that good. See, no one is that bad that they can't be saved, and no one is that good that they don't have to be saved. We all are sinners in need of a Savior. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. God has said that we're all guilty of sin. But many people on the wide road are self-righteous. They're good people. They will tell you they're good people. Now, they may not come out and just be blunt with it, but that's what they believe when they say, hey, I'm not that bad. I don't need Jesus Christ. And they'll say, you know what? Faith in Jesus Christ is for weak people. I say, you know what? You're right. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong in him. It is for weak people. It's for those who come to the point of knowing I can't live life without God. It's for weak people. And so God wants us to know to enter the narrow gate, the road less traveled. And in our society, we're seeing that more and more that many people are on that wide gate because it says all roads lead to heaven. And Jesus Christ, you don't really need him. That's narrow-minded. And so we have to be careful as Christians to understand that when we're talking about Jesus, when we're sharing our faith, when we're sharing the gospel, we're telling people, now I want you to understand that what Jesus is making a claim, he's saying that he has died for our sins, and he is saying he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, you don't have to believe that, but you cannot say Jesus didn't teach that. He taught that. And he's telling you and I, there's only two gates. There's only two roads. There's only two religions in the world. One religion is what you do for God. The second religion is what God has done for you. And that's Christianity. God did something for you and I that we cannot do for ourselves. He died for our sins. And he gave us something that we do not deserve, cannot earn, that is salvation. And when you become self-righteous, you saying to God, God, I am not that bad, but I'm okay, and you should be happy with who I am, and I get to earn my own salvation. Many people are on that road. And that's why many people reject Jesus, because they say, you know what? I don't need him to help me. I can make it on my own. So Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Now, I want you to know that as Jesus talks about this entry by the narrow gate, he says something. He says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I want you to know that the gate that you choose will determine your eternal destiny. The gate you choose will determine your eternal destiny. The narrow gate leads to life. The wide gate leads to destruction. In other words, what he is saying here, and this is Jesus saying that the wide gate is easy. And there are many on that gate, but they're headed in the wrong direction. They're headed for destruction. There's a dead end. It's like going down a street and it has a sign that says dead end that way. I mean, once you go down there, there's no exit. It just ends. It stops there. And so there are many people who think they're on the way to heaven and really on the way to destruction. What gate you choose will determine your eternal destiny. And as a believer, as a Christian, we want you to enter through the narrow gate. We want you to choose life. And unfortunately, in our culture, we can see it. There are many people who believe they're on their way to heaven. Sadly, are not. They have good intentions, and yet they're still not saved. And that can happen even in a church like ours, where people can say, hey, you know, I was raised going to church, raised in a Christian household, did all those things. I like Jesus, and yet have not really truly repented and surrendered their life to Jesus. They know about it. They know the Bible, can quote it. And yet deep down, God has no authority and leadership over their lives. They are still in control of their life. And you can, matter of fact, you can come to this church, hear me preach the gospel every Sunday, and even say that was a good sermon, and still not be saved. Because you can be deceived in thinking that it's just a good sermon that you need to hear, but it's not to make you do something and change your life. And there are many people that sit in church every Sunday, hear the word of God preached from a pastor, and walk out the same way on that wide road, headed for destruction. And they think, well, I came. I heard it. I must be good. Not until you place your faith in Jesus Christ are you redeemed. The question I ask you, what road are you on? What road are you on? If you die today, would you go to heaven? And why? Where's your answer? Someone asks you, if you die today, would you go to heaven? What would be your answer? What would be your answer? Because we all have an eternal destiny that awaits us. You choose The narrow gate leads to life. To choose the wide gate, it leads to destruction. And I want you to know, salvation is free. It's free. It costs you nothing for salvation. But it costs Jesus everything. It cost him his life. And if you and I are going to follow Jesus Christ, if we're going to really be his disciples, it's going to cost us to be a disciple. Now, I want you to know, when people say, oh, yeah, Christianity is easy, it's not. To follow Jesus Christ is not easy. Matter of fact, to be a disciple is difficult. Because Jesus says, in order for us to be disciples, we have to do something. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Now, the narrow gate, the reason why it's so difficult, because you can't take nothing with you through the gate. Got to drop all your baggage, all your self-righteousness, and the only thing that you can get through the gate is you. And that's all God needs is you. And what God is saying, when you enter the narrow gate, you enter through without any self-righteousness, anything of yours, you're coming by yourself. And you're sliding through the gate saying, I'm coming with nothing but myself. And that's all God wants is you and I. He wants you. So don't leave your baggage behind when you come. You don't need the baggage. Christ has died for you. He wants you to be set free and drop the baggage. Just enter through the narrow gate. The wide gate is easy. Why is the wide gate easy? There's no cost. There's no cost. And what I mean there is no cost is that there is no cost because many people believe all roads lead to heaven. Now, if you really want to get people mad at you, and you want to really get people upset with you, talk about God, everybody's happy. Nobody's going to argue with that. But now, once you start getting specific and you start talking about Jesus, and you start saying, well, there's no God but Jesus Christ, and there's only one way to heaven, then it becomes an issue. And you will begin to walk alone. People will get upset with you. And they will say, well, I don't agree with that. That's just narrow-minded. Who are you to say that? Well, Jesus is the one who said it. And I believe him. I believe what he says. He the one who said that the gate is wide and the way is easy, but it leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. And that's why it's so important for us, church, to reach out to people who don't know Jesus Christ. There are many people who don't know the Lord. Even in the country that we live in, that we say that was founded on biblical principles, on the foundation of God, there are many people that don't know Jesus Christ. See, if you live in your Christian bubble and you believe, oh, everybody knows Jesus, you are sadly mistaken. Go to your jobs, and God forbid, go to school. Go to high school. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people, kids, that don't know the Lord. It's not their fault. Their parents don't know Jesus. And their parents didn't pass down to them the faith of Jesus Christ. So they don't know anything about God. And so now we have this generation who is rising up who do not know God and do not know the way of salvation. And so that's why it's so important for us as a church to really be focused about telling people about the love of God, because we understand that the decision you make is going to lead to your eternal destiny. And it can be a destiny of destruction or an eternal destiny full of life. And make no mistake, God wants to give us life. God wants to give you and I life. And Jesus makes no mistake when he's talking to the crowd what he wants them to do. He says again, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. See, Jesus doesn't do what we do. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to preach a sermon and whatever you decide to do is on you. He doesn't do that. He is preaching and he tells them, enter this way. Enter the narrow gate. Come this way. So he doesn't leave it to chance. Now I want you to know in point three that the heart of God is seen in the command of Jesus. The heart of God is seen in the command of Jesus. What is Jesus' command? What is he telling us to do? Enter through the narrow gate. That's a command. And he's telling you, do something. Enter through the narrow gate. That's a command. So when we refuse to enter through the gate, We're just obeying God. So God tells us which gate to go through. He makes a decision easy for us. Go this way. He wants us to do that. And I put this up here. God desires to give us heaven and not hell. I'm going to read that again. God desires to give us heaven and not hell. Now, I know heaven is a popular subject. Movies are made about people going to heaven and back. Heaven is a popular subject. But hell isn't. Very unpopular. Nobody wants to hear about that. Nobody wants to talk about that. But we have to. Because in the Word of God, we have to talk about those things. And the fact that Jesus tells us to enter through the narrow gate is saying that God loves us. Because what is at the end of the narrow gate? Life. What's at the end of the other gate? Destruction. Now, when we think about heaven, what is heaven? Where is heaven? People ask those questions. And I think heaven is this. I believe, based on the Word of God, and I put it in your outline, that heaven is where you will enjoy the presence, the peace, and the people of God forever. Heaven is where you will enjoy the presence, the peace, and the people of God forever. I want you to turn to in your Bibles to the last book in the Bible. That should be easy to find. The last book is Revelation. That's the last one. Everybody can find it. It's the last one. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Revelation, my teacher, my professor would always get mad when we would say, he would always say, it's not the book of Revelations. It's Revelation. Okay, professor. So it's the book of, it's Revelation. Look at chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. This is the Apostle John writing what he saw. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Isn't that good news? That God's going to give us joy and peace and his presence, and we'll be together forever praising God. No more pain. No more crying. No more mourning. This is good news. I mean, that's awesome when you think about that. That God wants to give us that. That's what God wants to give us. God wants to give us himself. That's what God is saying. God said, I want to give you this. This is what I have for you. This is what God has for you and I. So as Christians, I want you to know the best is yet to come. If you are a Christian, the best is yet to come. This is not as good as it gets for you. It gets better. Because God has prepared a place for us. It gets better. And God wants to give us heaven and not hell. That's good news, isn't it? Now, if you're an unbeliever, it doesn't get better from here. It gets worse from here. If you are an unbeliever, on earth, it's as good as it gets for you. It gets worse from here. It gets worse. And point two was hell is where you will experience this. The wrath and the judgment of God forever. Hell is where you will experience the wrath and judgment of God forever. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Are we there? Look at verse 11 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." That's tragic. That's hell. Hell is where God is not there. Hell is where, and the Apostle Paul said that, I mean, the Apostle John said that's the second death. So if you are an unbeliever, it gets worse from here. If you reject God on this side of the earth, if you reject him and say, "I don't believe there is no God, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I believe all roads lead to heaven," and when you die and you stand before God, God's going to judge you and say, "Since you believe that, away from me." He's going to judge you. And you are going to be banished from his presence. Now, this is not a popular subject to preach. Some people say, "Well, that's unloving." I think it's an unloving thing for a preacher not to preach about hell. That's unloving. To not tell people there's a heaven and there's a hell. That's the most unloving thing a preacher could do, not to tell you that your decisions have eternal consequences. And if you make a decision and you say you reject Jesus, it gets worse for you. But if you surrender and trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, the best is yet to come. And we look forward to that. And that's why as Christians, we don't lose our mind when our loved ones die. We don't lose our minds when we say, when the doctor says, it's your time to go. We don't lose our minds. Because we know death is not the end. It is the beginning of a new chapter. It gets better. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying. God has a plan for us, and God says the best is yet to come when you trust me. So I want you to know we can trust God, we can believe in him, and we can know that you might have ailments now on this side, but on the other side, there is no pain, there is no sorrow. You may have sorrow now, but there's no sorrow in heaven. You may cry today, but you won't cry in heaven. There are no tears there. There's joy in the presence of God. And God says he wants you and I to have that. Jesus Christ came and said that, "Hey, I came to prepare a place. I mean, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be there also." Who's going with me? Amen. Because I'm going. I'm on the road, let's travel. I'm in the narrow gate. I'm going with Jesus. Because I believe that he came to die for my sins and to give me life. And I believe there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I don't believe there are many roads to heaven. There's only one road. And the world will tell you there are many roads, it's not. And we say, "Well, God's a loving God. He won't send no one to hell." God's a holy God. God is so holy and loving, he gives you what you want. And what I mean by that is this. If you live your time on earth like there is no God, when you die, God will give you that same request. You will live your eternity without God. And he said there were books that were open. And he said they were judged by the things that were in them. See, as Christians, we're not going to be judged by God for what we've done, as far as our sins, because Christ has paid for those. But if you're not a Christian, you're going to be judged by what was written in those books. See, the question is your name written in the book of life? And I like how he said the book of life. So how does a person get their name in the book of life? How does someone write your name down? Your name is written in the book of life when you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and you surrender your life to Him. Your name is written in the book of life. Like a thief on the cross, he was dying, and he recognized who Jesus was. And he said this to Jesus, "When you enter your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said to him, "Today, you will be in paradise." Right then, that thief's name was written in the book of life. What about you? Is your name there? Have you recognized that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Have you entered the narrow gate, which sometimes seems lonely and difficult? Or are you on the wide gate, where everybody's having a good time, everybody says that your way is not right or wrong, it's just your way, it doesn't matter, we're all going to the same place? That's the wide gate, and it's leading to destruction. Jesus says again, enter through the narrow gate. And that means that God wants to give us life. And that's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. That's why he came. Now the fourth thing is that we each have to make a choice. We each have to make a choice. From the beginning of time, God has gave humanity a choice. From the beginning of time, God gave us a choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. But he told them what not to do. He said, there's a tree of life, and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil that leads to death. And he told them, don't eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil that leads to death. Because in the moment you eat that, you're going to surely die. Now, they had a choice, right? Now, who came along and deceived them? We call him old Slewfoot. Satan. He came. And he deceived them and told them, that's not true. What God has said to you is a lie. God knows that if you do that, you're going to be just like him. You're going to be as smart as him. And God doesn't want you smart as he is. He doesn't like that. But if you eat that, you'll be just like God. God gave them a choice. And what did they do? They chose to eat from that tree, and it led to death. Not only spiritual death, but eventually physical death. And they passed that death on to their own children, till Cain went out and committed murder. So think about that. God gave us choice. In the book of Joshua, when Joshua was leading the people, they went to the promised land. I love what Joshua says to the people. He stands up to the men and says, men, choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, hey, you have a choice. The prophet Elijah told the people, how long are you going to halter between two opinions? If Baal is God, serve Baal. If God is God, serve him. He says, make a decision. Choose who you're going to serve. If it's God, serve God. Is it not whoever served that? But he said, but when whoever you serve, there's an eternal consequence. We all have to make a choice, and God wants you to make a choice. Today, God wants each and every one of us in this room to make a choice whom we're going to serve. And the question is, who do you say Jesus is? What gate are you going to choose, the narrow gate or the wide gate? Now, Jesus has already given you the answer to the test. He said, go to the narrow gate. The question is, who are you going to believe? We can choose to believe the Bible. We can choose to believe the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, people say, well, you know, that Bible is written by man. How can you believe that? I said, well, number one, I want you to prove to me that it's wrong. Prove to me that the Bible is wrong. Prove to me that what it says is wrong. You prove to me that the Bible is wrong in what it says. Many have tried. Many have failed. Matter of fact, there have been guys, people, men and women who have given their life to disprove the Bible and wind up studying the Bible and getting saved. There's a great guy, there's a story about a guy called the Case for Faith. The author is Lee Strobel. He talks about he was a journalist, he was an atheist. And he said that his wife went down to this church one day and she got saved. He didn't like it. So he said what he was going to do was he's going to prove to her that Jesus and that Bible was wrong and she's wasting her time. So he made it his mission to interview people and study the Bible and to prove to her this is a waste of your time. And he said the more he studied it, the more he interviewed, the more people he interviewed, he said, man, this is true. He got saved. All because he tried to disprove the Bible and he really researched it and searched it out and God changed his life. And now he's a pastor teaching. And talking about he came in faith by trying to disprove God. See, I believe that a person's heart is really open and they really want to know God and they really want to know the truth. If you really want to know God, God will reveal himself to you. He will. The question is that are you open to it? For God to reveal himself to you. Study the word of God. Read the Bible. And then prove that what is being said is not true. But many people haven't taken the time to do that. Many people who will argue with you and say, I don't believe the Bible, and you ask them this question, hey, have you read the whole Bible? Well, no, I don't believe it. Well, until you read the whole Bible, you can't really argue with me until you read the whole thing. Because now your actual argument is not really had that much substance because you haven't read the whole Bible. So what part do you don't believe? So when we think about it, we have to choose to believe the Bible. And the Bible, I believe, is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, and it leads us to faith in Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, written by men, but inspired by God. And you cannot know God apart from the Word of God. I don't care how much you go out there and say, I want to get in touch with nature. And that's going to lead me to God. No, it will not. You need the Word of God to lead you to Jesus Christ. Because nature cannot convict you of your sins. Nature cannot tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nature might tell you there's a divine being, but I don't tell you about Jesus Christ. And many people say, well, as long as I believe there's a higher power, that's okay. That's not okay. You must believe that Jesus Christ and the person, that there's a powerful person, not a higher power. So you have to make a choice. Do you believe the Bible? Second thing, or we can choose to believe the world's philosophy. And don't think that the world does not have a philosophy. They do. And they try every day to indoctrinate you and I. They try to indoctrinate our kids into this mindset. Here's the mindset is that, hey, it doesn't matter about what particular religion or what faith you believe. As long as you believe in something and you try your best and you do good, you'll be okay. And that's a philosophy that the world is espousing. There is no right and wrong. There's no absolute truth. And I said, well, do you absolutely believe that? Because when you say that, you're making an absolute statement. There's no truth. But the world says there's no truth, there's no right and wrong, there is my way is no better than yours. And we have people, the world, who is now feeding us that philosophy. And if we as Christians don't teach the word of God, don't pray, and not only that, that we as parents do not help our kids come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we leave it, if we leave our kids to themselves, and we say this, I'm going to let my kid make up their mind what they want to do. Then you're assuming that your kids don't have a sinful nature. Because human beings don't gravitate toward God. They rebel against God. We have to lead not only ourselves, but our children to have faith in God. Because they will not learn about God on their own. That's why the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, that you are to teach your kids about God. The Bible commands us as parents to teach our kids about Him. It tells us to do that. So what Christian would say they believe in Jesus Christ is going to say, I'm going to let my kid go their own way. I'm not going to tell them. Maybe you don't believe with you. Because if you truly believe the Bible and you truly believe there's a heaven and a hell, how could you not tell people? It would be like someone saying, I know there's a cure for cancer, and not tell anyone. That would be cruel, wouldn't it? To know there's a cure for cancer, and you know, and you see people suffering, and you say, well, I don't want to bother anybody. Hopefully they'll find it. You would tell them, wouldn't you? Well, we have a cure for sin. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. There's a gate that leads to life. And there's a gate that leads to destruction. And there are many sincere, good people on the wide gate to destruction because they have refused to enter the way of Jesus Christ. So we have to choose to believe the Bible. Not only that, we will be accountable for the choice we make. Every one of us will be accountable for the road we choose. Jesus says, wide is the gate and it's easy, but it leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are true. God's going to hold us accountable for the gate, for the road we travel. If you're here today, God holds us accountable to what we hear. When Jesus spoke to these disciples on the mountain, those people, they were accountable to what they heard. And he told them, enter through the narrow gate. He says, you heard me speak. I need you to make a choice. And he's telling them, choose me. And we tell you today, if you're here, my conclusion is this. Choose the way of Jesus Christ and live. Choose the way of Jesus Christ and live. Don't be deceived by this world philosophy. Don't be deceived that you say, well, I'm just so smart and I don't believe in all that. You know, the Bible says we're sinners in need of a Savior. We all are sinners in need of a Savior. We don't normally do what's right. We always naturally do what is evil. From a little kid, we always got to teach our kids to do what? To do what's right. You never have to teach your kids to disobey you. You have to teach them to obey. Why is that? Why do you have to teach your kids to be good kids and to obey you? Because we are bent to disobey. It's in our nature. It's in our nature to rebel against God. So the question for you today, for all of us, what road are you on? If you die today, would you go to heaven? And why? You may say, well, I don't know. There is no heaven. To find out there's a heaven, it's too late when you die. It comes by faith. Faith is the trusting in Jesus Christ. And we pray, and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God has convicted and opened your ears and your heart to this truth that you may be saved. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Word of God, you can't be saved. But we want you to have life. And I know one say, if someone would have told me, I would not have died and went to hell. They're going to be good people that we would dub as good people are going to be in hell. And dare I say, they're going to be bad people that are going to be in heaven. Now, see, that messes you up, man. I can't believe he said that. I mean, really, that just it just messes you up when you say they're going to be good people in hell and bad people in heaven. How can that be? Because Jesus says, I didn't come for what? The well, I came for the sick. I didn't come for the good people. I came for those who are sinners. The Pharisees were good people in their own mind. But Jesus said to them, you're on your way to hell because you reject me. Because they thought they were self-righteous and that their religion could save them. Here's a thief who was dying as a thief that was redeemed by God on the cross. By all intents and purposes, that was a bad guy up there on that cross. But he put his faith in Jesus. And God said, my son has paid for that bad guy's sins. You own now the narrow gate. Enter into heaven. Let it not be you who think you're so good that you don't need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus today. Don't leave here without him. Don't leave here without God. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let the devil deceive you like he did Adam and Eve. Having you challenged the word. What does God's word really say that? Don't be deceived. Because the devil knows where his place is. He knows he's on his way to hell. He's going to take you with him. I decided that the devil can go to hell without me. I'm going where there is peace, there's joy, no more sorrow. I'm going with Jesus. What road are you traveling? Choose Jesus and live. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can choose Jesus Christ as your Holy Spirit is leading us to know that without you, we're nothing. So, Father, I pray for everyone here in this room that we're on the road less traveled, the narrow gate that we've entered through. We know, Lord, that it can be difficult to serve you, but we know, God, you're with us. And you promise to give us life and life more abundantly. I pray, oh God, that the enemy would not have his way in this place, that he won't begin to confuse people, to have us doubt your word, and to believe that in and of ourselves we are good. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, we encourage you. We beg you, we plead with you, surrender to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. You probably heard it said before, but it's true. If you died today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? And why? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Time waits for no one. Today's a day of salvation. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to enter through the narrow gate and I want to begin a walk with Jesus Christ, right where you are, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. We don't want you to leave here without Jesus. We don't want you to leave here saying, I heard the message, but I left still on the wide road. Will there be one to say, Pastor, today is the day. And maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you're here today, you are a Christian. The question I want to ask you is this. Are you living your life under the authority and the teaching and the leadership of Jesus Christ? Or are you choosing to believe the Bible Or is your mind still laying hold of the world's philosophy? Are you truly being a disciple? Are you truly following Jesus? Or are you here just playing church? You know the Bible, you know what to say, you know the language. But deep in your heart, God doesn't have control of your heart. He's not leading your life, you are. God has said, surrender to Him. So maybe that's you. You've been born again, but God's not leading you. God has a purpose and plan for your life, and He wants to use you. And He's asking you to choose Him. Choose His way. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I've been living my own life. But today I surrender to Jesus, giving Him control of my life. We want to pray for you too. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Right where you are, raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Amen. See that hand? See that hand? See those hands? Amen. Praise God for those raised hands. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who rose their hands. And I pray, God, that you will do a work in their life. I pray that they may understand the purpose and the plan you have for them. That goes beyond what they could even imagine. So, God, I do pray that they will surrender their lives totally to you, that you may use them in a way that brings glory to your name. So, Father, give them the strength and the encouragement to know you love them and that you want to use them, not only in this church, but in your world for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, I pray that the enemy would not try to come in and deceive them, but that by your power, they would have victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.